This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what's going on. Hallelujah. God's got a plan, and we're in it, as long as you cooperate. Glory, glory, and a glory. Woo-hoo! Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. Verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir you, your pure minds by way of what? Reminder. I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be what? Mindful. In other words, he wants to stir up their thoughts, that they may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the what? Last days. Everyone say last days. Are we in the last days? You betcha. Walking according to their what? Own lusts or desires. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack, concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. In other words, he's putting up with us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. Again, we are in the last days, and he's warned us already. He says, listen, scoffers, mockers, accusers are going to come in these last days. They will willfully forget what God has done and forget their Creator. Amen? Last days. In the last days, there'll be a lot of reactions instead of responses. There'll be a lot of terrible attitudes, and certain desires of ungodliness will increase. And again, all of this is to expose the evil powers of darkness and people that serve them, and to also bring light to the lost. Remember, the Bible says one day with the Lord is equal to what? A thousand. A thousand. So if we've got one day with the Lord equal to a thousand years, we are at a period of time right now and where everything is coming together, and I've shared this before, where everything is coming together, all the prophetic, everything is coming, gathering together right now. And we are in this 6,000th year. We're there. Amen. So go to Matthew 17, verse 1. Now after what? 6 days, you might say, after 6,000 years. One day, the Lord is equal to what? 1,000 years. Amen. So it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was what? Transfigured. Before them, his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Now, you got to understand, these guys were freaked out. Jesus said, come on up. I'm going to go. Let's come on up to the mountain. We'll go pray a little bit. You three come with me. Awesome. The presence of God rips everybody apart. The glory of God is there. Jesus changes, like in his original state of who he is. And Moses and Elijah show up. I mean, these guys were blown away. But this is the arena of the transfiguration. In other words, that's what we're waiting for. Amen? We're waiting for that new body, man. Praise God. Verse 4, then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He's probably knees were knocking like crazy, trying to do Morse code, you know. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I mean, come on, he didn't know what to say. That was the holiest thing that could come out of his mouth. Let's see. There's something we can do here. Let's build tabernacles. I mean, they had time to build tabernacles there. They didn't have no tools, no wood, no nothing. Like I said, he just didn't know what to say, man. He was blown away. And while he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, as suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him or serve him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly what? Afraid. Oh, man, they didn't fall back. They fell forward. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. He came back to his original state of being. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, what? Turn on the television. Tell the vision. Hello. See, that's where TV came from, right here. Tell the vision. To no one until the Son of Man is risen from the what? From the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. The transfiguration is associated with the rapture. It's the removal. This is where we change in the twinkling of an eye. It's said it will happen in the 6,000th year, where we're in that year, but it isn't time for it yet, because the harlot must be dismantled, and the beast must be dismantled, and the Antichrist has got to be exposed. Amen? So we know that the Jews right now are building a temple for the Messiah, but the Messiah already came. Now he's coming as King of Kings. So they're actually going to be building the temple for the Antichrist to step in first. Think about that. But they don't know that. Amen? Now Moses represents those who have fallen asleep or those who are dead in Christ. Amen? Elijah represents those who are alive. Because remember, Elijah will be taken up. And then the graves will open up, but the graves will... You know, so those who are alive will come first. I mean, those who are asleep in Christ will come first. And then those who are alive will be taken up and meet Jesus in you. Amen? So, and we know that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, right? Which was the forerunner. And Jesus said he's already come. So we know that the spirit of Elijah's got to be released. That anointing. It's going to increase more and more and more. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. What does it say? I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have what? Fallen asleep. Those who are dead in Christ. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Christ, in Jesus. Amen? For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So Jesus is not even going to step on the earth yet. Amen? We're going to meet him in the air. The world will see us. This will be the final before the wrath. This is the final event before the wrath, before everything that's more destructive for the next 3.5 years on this earth. This is the final event to cause people to repent and turn. This is the removal of the bride. And thus we shall always be with the Lord, therefore comfort one another with these words. Amen? Because the rapture is for the bride removal. Amen? In Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called what? Passover. So Passover is tomorrow. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray Jesus to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. Now remember, Judas was the treasurer of the 12 apostles. Amen? He held the money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, and when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." Hallelujah. So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room, and there make ready." So they went and found it, just as he had said to them, and they prepared for Passover. Now again, Jesus was preparing for his death. Amen. So we see this is the last days of Jesus. Something very important it says. He said, and Satan entered Judas to set this whole thing off. Satan entered Judas. Amen. We are in a great battle with betrayers and lovers of money and so forth. Again, tomorrow is the Passover, the 5th. There are many things that are happening right now all over the world. Many Jews are celebrating Passover. Many believers are celebrating. And there's many who don't even know what the heck Passover is. They're getting ready to chase a rabbit, bury some eggs. They have no idea what's getting ready to happen. Amen? They're out buying all kinds of sweet rabbits, chocolate, vanilla, and stuff like that. You know? John 17. Verse 11. Jesus said, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of what? Perdition. That the scripture may be fulfilled. Now, he calls him the son of perdition because Satan entered him. Amen? But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the what? Evil one. That's Jesus' intercession. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by what? Truth. Yeah. So Judas was the son of perdition, a human host for the devil. Judas, remember, he was kind of like a money changer, you know? Hallelujah. He loved money. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's the spirit of Judas out there. And they are money changers. They are betrayers. Why? Because we are in the last days. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, what? Not to be soon shaken in thought or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin, this is revealed, the son of perdition. Oh, what do you mean? A human host that has been taken possession by Satan. Somebody get it? The same thing with Judas, the son of perdition. There'll be another human host. Most likely a wealthy money changer. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Again, the Jews are building the temple right now, preparing for the Messiah, but the Antichrist will step in first. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who now restrains, will do so until the Holy Spirit, or now the bride, is taken out of the way. Because remember, the bride, the anointing, is what's sustaining, what's holding back all the wickedness on this earth. Once the bride is removed from the earth, there's nothing restraining them anymore. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan, the son of perdition. Amen? With all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. In other words, they were not lovers of the truth. You know what? Many people know the truth, but choose not to practice it. That's because they're not lovers of the truth. That they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. That's phenomenal. Look at how many people have taken the not knowing. Amen? Not knowing. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Again, I really believe it's going to be someone who's going to be a wealthy money changer, a human host. Amen? This is going on. So this is going to happen in the near future. But it's going to start the Great Tribulation. This event right here is going to start the Great Tribulation. The exposure what? The evil one. But again, even when he comes, so many people are going to know there's going to be things he's doing, and he's here on the planet doing things, but he's hidden. So it says that this isn't going to happen, this great event, the second part of the Great Tribulation, isn't going to happen until he steps in the temple. But there's going to be things that are going to be done beforehand. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, in the last days, we in the last days? Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. These are demon-possessed hosts. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness because they're creating their own religions, but denying God's power. And from such people do what? Turn away. Turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible men and women, load them down with sins, with led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jabez resisted Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds and thoughts and desires disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, and theirs also was. So we see here right now that the powers of darkness are backed in the corner. They are manifesting like crazy. These are last day demon hosts. They lie, they're traitors, they're evil. We're seeing more and more and more. I mean, you can even go into places and you can tell people's attitudes. It's like they don't even want to, you know, even some restaurants. I mean, if you can get a good waiter, that's a blessing. I'm telling you. Someone's like, yeah, what do you want? It's like, man. I mean, it's incredible. And the attitude of individuals that have been taken captive by these spirits. And they really believe that they want to collect money, but they don't want to work. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. I mean, think about all the places that say help wanted. These people need help. The zombies in the streets in Philadelphia. I mean, I've shared this before, man. You watch those videos, they're heartbreaking. They're just dying on the street. People are just stepping over them. And now they got all these, I mean, it's chemical warfare out there, man. And they just allow it to happen. I mean, they got tents and everything. It's just, and the street, they're just loaded the streets, blocks of them. And there's syringes all over the place and everything. These are all in democratic-run cities. Every one of them. because those are demon hosts that are supporting the other demons to get fed. These mayors, governors, and principals, and teachers, these are demon hosts that are promoting transgender, immoral things that are provoking to God, lust, indoctrinating individuals instead of educating them. People are coming out of college because they're tired of it. They're quitting school because they're run corruptly. There's corporations corruptly. Man, we canceled insurance. I said, man, you guys are corrupt. I canceled it. I ain't giving no more money to these corrupt organizations. If everybody would stand up, I mean, I don't mean here. I mean everybody in the world, you know. If everybody would stand up against it, just think about how things would have to change. If everybody said, you know what? I'm not paying my mortgage to this one this month. You could lose your house. They'd freak out. The banks would collapse overnight. Aren't people tired of being lied to, ripped off? Somebody's corporations, everybody said, you know what? We're not going to work today until you change. Look at these hospitals that have murdered people for money. And these poor nurses, and they knew that they didn't want to take the job, but they took it anyways because they couldn't lose their jobs. But you know, if they all got gathered together and said, no, we're not going into work today, boy, that would change everything, wouldn't it? See, the problem is there's not enough unity, or this is where God's trying to bring unity now, but the enemy causes division. And he does a very good job at it. Because people are self-willed. They put themselves first instead of God's purpose first. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Where are we here? Oh, verse 1. James 5. Let's speak it. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Oh, snap. Now, this is not for the righteous. This is for the wicked. Amen? Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brother, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Let all be patient, especially establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. The judge is at the door. He knows all things. Nothing's hidden. Nobody will escape. Nobody. Amen. And these are things that we got to know and got to hold on to and got to be reminded of. Joel chapter 2. In the Passover, remember, this is about an Exodus. And God told Pharaoh through Moses and Aaron, let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. So we're in the time sequence right now where it's recycled to become manifested. Pharaoh's got to let the people of God go. Tomorrow's going to start a whole event of release. a whole vent of release, an event. There's going to be things beginning to come and then begin to overlap. The world is going to, it's going to be like a mini wave and then get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's going to create more of awakening. You know, with the arrest of President Trump, who's the true president, it's awakened more people. I mean, his ratings have gone through the... Nobody can compete with him. Because the world is awakening to this evil corruption and lies and deception. You know? And this is the plan. This is the plan of God. Remember, the Lord holds everything in his hand. He knows the beginning and the end. All of this is his setup. You know, Satan has bait, God baited him. Satan bit the bait of God. Hallelujah. And Joel 2. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Hallelujah. Last days, last day events. And what does it say? Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's called revival. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Oh, yes. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Has that happened? Yeah, we've had plenty of blood moons, haven't we? Before the coming and the great, awesome day of the Lord, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. The remnant. When we see revival, revival is awakening. It's just not miracle signs and wonders of people raised from the dead. Because the greatest miracle is salvation. That's the greatest miracle. The other events are to bring people to salvation. The gifts of the Spirit is expose, comfort, promote, bring revelation. Amen? But again, in these, the revival is actually awakening. People have dreams and visions and so forth. I don't know if you noticed that Jupiter, Mars, Venus, and Mercury have kind of like aligned. I mean, we were watching it. One night I happened to get up during the night and I said, man, look at this. And you could just, you thought they were stars, but they're the planets. They were like almost all aligned together. And then the moon was on the side of it. And then the next night, we kind of shifted. Then there was, it was so wild. I was like, I've never seen it. Never have I seen it like that before. And these are signs. Amen? In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, but today it's messengers. I send my messengers, and they will prepare the way before me, says the Lord. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. But this will be after the Antichrist. Even the messengers of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like laundry soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify the silver of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, and that they may offer the Lord the offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a what? Swift witness. against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away alien because they did not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Swift witness against evil people. He will refine, purify, cleanse, and prepare the bride through all of this stuff. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Arise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." That's 3.5 years. Can you imagine the earth having to put up with these two witnesses for 3.5 years? People are going to freak out. But this is basically, the two witnesses will be in Israel, in Jerusalem. But the spirit of Moses and Elijah, two witnesses, will be globally. These are the two trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven. Oh, who had power to shut heaven? Elijah. So that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood. Well, who had power to do that? Moses. And to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Then they will finish their testimony. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie out in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So that's where they were laid out, the same place where Jesus was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. They will gloat over this. They will celebrate that they finally killed the voice of God, because such conviction and torment was being released from them. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those who saw them. And they heard the loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. And in that same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. And the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe was past. Behold, the third woe was coming. I would believe also this is parallel with the rapture. Those two prophets will go up when we go up. Oh, how close we are. Go to Daniel 12. Verse 1. At that time, Daniel will stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was seen since there was a what? A nation, that means Israel. Even to that time. And at that time your people shall be what? Delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall what? Awake. Sounds like rapture to me. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Are we at the time of the end? Yeah, that's why the book of Daniel's been open and released, the prophetic. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Why? Because knowledge is increasing intently. Artificial intelligence is phenomenally increased. And they will create a beast that will be mechanically, artificially, and they'll cause them to worship it. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others. One on this river bank and one on the other river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in the linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven. And he swore by him who lives forever that it shall be a time, 1 year, times two more years, and half a time, 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people have been completely shattered, all these things shall be what? Finished. All these things shall be what? Finished. Now, even though Daniel heard all these things, he didn't understand everything. Amen? But he didn't really need to. He just needed to write it down, make sure we got it. Praise God. The holy people, I really believe, are associated with the Jews now. Because they will be scattered and shattered. Remember, Israel's last to be taken care of. Even the world will be taken care of in the area of judgment and everything. Israel will be last. Amen? I'm going to close at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Speaking, for this is the will of God, your what? Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit, who guides us to all truth. Amen? This is last days. We're in it. You know, now the enemy always try to manipulate you and do all kinds of stuff and make you think goofy. Amen. Listen, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about what you should have done, what you could have done. It doesn't matter. It's not what you've done, it's where you're going. Amen. It's not how you begin, it's how you end. Hold fast to those things. Be ready in season and out. Don't let the devil manipulate you or deceive you, no matter what happens, whether you get offended, whether you get challenged, no matter what's what. Amen? Trust all the way, knowing that it is the last days. And nobody gets away with it. The Bible says that do not touch my anointed. You're anointed. Anybody tries to touch you in any way, they're in trouble. Amen? Praise God. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you seal what's been given to us tonight, that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory. And as your anointed children, we ask that you keep us hidden in a secret place and constantly feed us and allow us to build platforms and pathways to your glory and for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them you got it.